As internal divisions show the vulnerabilities in the precious democracy we celebrate this weekend, I want to take time to raise up an ambitious effort at rebuilding unity. The essays collected in the new book, How to Heal Our Divides, A Practical Guide, are not fluffy platitudes, but rather powerful meditations and calls to action with urgency and spirituality in equal measure. Such a needed resource. I'm glad we have it, and I'm joined by Brian Allain, editor of How to Heal Our Divides. Brian, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's really a pleasure and an honor to join you guys.
The list of contributors to this book reads like a who's who of guests that we've had on this program over the years. What criteria, besides that, did you use to assemble this panel of distinguished writers?
Well, that's a really good question. It was primarily driven by my desire to have a focus on organizations that were actually doing something to heal divides. That was the whole purpose of the book in the first place. Was I felt that our country has never been more polarized, and I wanted to do my little part to try to help address that. And also, during the pandemic last year, I had been reading quite a few books about different types of divides, racial divides, political, religious, sexual orientation, everything. And so many good books, but they were generally about what's the history behind this issue, or convincing you to look inside yourself, you know, to examine your own biases, all really good books, but not so much about, okay, what do we do about it? So that's why I wanted to collect these essays from organizations that are actually doing something about it. Mm-hmm. So racial reconciliation training, or political forums, or how to have better arguments, you know, how to heal the gap with our Native American, you know, brothers and sisters, et cetera, et cetera. So, that was my number one priority. And I've been blessed with relationships with a lot of folks who care about those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so either, you know, asking them directly or asking them for suggestions of people that I could talk to that they know of that are doing something in this area. So as it turned out, I was shooting for something like 25 to 30 chapters. We ended up with 33.
Yeah.
And I ended up being oversubscribed within about 4 weeks of when I started recruiting contributors to this. So it was incredibly quickly that I was able to find, you know, folks who were both really relevant and had something important to talk about in this framework and willing to write a chapter and do an interview. So I'm still kind of amazed that that actually happened.
What made it seem important to take on this particular project right now?
Well, you know, this is all a second career for me. I spent my life doing completely different things, basically in high tech. And so I was a beneficiary of this incredible country of, you know, the white privilege that we enjoy for most of my life. And now I'm much more focused on trying to give back and trying to deal with some of the issues that are really difficult issues that our country needs to deal with. Mm-hmm. So from an overall standpoint, my focus has changed dramatically in that direction. Mm-hmm. But then also what I mentioned a moment ago about, I've never seen our country so polarized. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a tendency, I think, to just say, well, just write them off. They're never going to get it, whoever they are, you know, whoever the other side is, quote unquote. But, you know, that may be the anger part of me saying that, but the logical part of me says, no, that's not the right way to approach this. We've got to try to figure out how to work together and bring this country closer together again. So that was really prompted this. And as I said, the different reading that I was doing, where I was kind of feeling like, I'm sure there must be other people out there too, that are feeling the same thing, that they'd like to do something, like to get involved with some organization that's actually doing something. So let me find these organizations and try to shine a spotlight on them. Yeah. So that other people can learn about them.
Did you know the kinds of thoughts these writers would share? I know you said that you had read their books. I'm just curious, were there some surprises for you?
Well, you know, it's just like when I do my writers' conferences, I don't tell my speakers what to say because I feel like they're far more expert in those areas than I am. And this book was the same thing. I'm not going to tell someone that's built a company around, you know, XYZ, let's say racial reconciliation training. I'm not going to tell them what to write because they know that far better than I do. And I guess the other part of it, too, is that I knew it was going to be 30-some different voices. It wasn't going to be one single approach. It wasn't going to be one single tone or voice or what have you. So I wasn't going to try to force fit anything like that because I knew it wasn't practical and I wanted their messages to shine through. That's what this is all about.
If you would talk about a couple of what you think are the most important ideas that appear in the pages of How to Heal Our Divides, A Practical Guide.
Well, that's a little bit like asking you which is your favorite child. You know, I deeply appreciate the contributions for many of the more well-known authors who contributed to this, even though, you know, their chapter was not necessarily about a specific organization. Mm-hmm. I felt that that was very important to the success of the book. It's not just these organizations that may or may not be well-known, but to also have, you know, as you mentioned earlier, some really wonderful leading voices to chime in and to support their work. So I greatly appreciated all the contributions from people like that. The second thing was that, you know, I just enjoyed hearing and learning more myself about what each one of these organizations are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, the training programs that they have, sometimes travel involved in that. It's an international set of organizations. So some of these organizations are outside the United States that are highlighted in the book. Many of them are from the United States, but all going through experiences, leading people through experiences that I think that they can benefit from in this context.
Mm-hmm. Are there overall themes that emerged, ideas that contributors from various and diverse backgrounds clearly share?
Well, first of all, having diversity in the book was a top priority for me. You know, I didn't want this to be about any one issue or any one group of people that were talking about it. I wanted to try to be as inclusive as I possibly could. So that was without a doubt an objective in trying to assemble this. Mm-hmm. But I've learned more and more, further I've gone into different types of businesses, that the number one business asset that any of us can have is trust. And I've been very blessed that I've got really high trust relationships with some folks who, you know, were either willing to write an article like this themselves or, you know, introduce me to someone appropriate who would. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not an insignificant ask, you know, to put your name on something. Yeah. And, you know, by affiliation, you know, basically supporting it. Mm-hmm. So I was asking, you know, folks to trust me, basically, you know, that this would be done well. It would be done, you know, with the right intention behind it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just can't say enough about how much I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. Mm-hmm. But that's how it was able to come together so quickly. This all was just an idea in my mind last mm-hmm. November. Mm-hmm. And around Thanksgiving is when I started recruiting people to contribute to the book. And here it is published in May 18th of mm-hmm. 2021 is when the actual release date took place. So we self-published it, which allowed us to, you know, get it out more quickly than if we had traditionally published, which is good news and bad news, right? Because then we didn't have all of the strength of a traditional publisher behind it. But I just felt like I wanted to get this out quickly because our country needs it and our people need it and people need some hope to be able to, you know, hear something positive, get involved in something positive.
Brian, I want to ask you a question that I've tried to raise with a number of guests in recent years when discussing the frightening and growing divisions in our society, how to engage those who feel they are dominating the current situation, who feel they are benefiting from the division. How do we bring those people to the table? How do we help them see the incalculable long-term cost of short-term gain? I feel there are answers to this critical question at last in the pages of this book, so I would love to get your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, the bad news about that, I think, is that it requires a change in heart, which has got to happen on an individual-by-individual basis, which means, you know, it's not going to happen over social media. It's not going to happen through TV. It's not, you know, I mean, this is like a grassroots kind of a thing that you have to have a plethora of different organizations all working in the same, you know, direction, orientation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if you as a person or you as a community are tied to power, whatever power you have that you're not willing to share, you're not willing to relinquish, you're not willing to give another person a break, then that's a pretty solid wall.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so at the end of the day, it's about the willingness to share power and maybe admit, like, well, you know, how we got this power in the first place maybe wasn't really all the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should rethink some of the way we've acted and thought and approached the world and care more about our fellow citizens.
So looking at all of these people that have these ideas, I need to ask, where can our listeners buy Out to Heal Our Divides?
So we have a website. It's actually howtohealourdivides.com. So you just spell it all out in one big string, howtohealourdivides.com. You can go to the website. You can get a link to purchase the book there. You can find out about all of the organizations that have that are discussed in the books, as well as the authors who have contributed to the book. There's links to each one of the contributors and each one of the organizations. And then the book itself, you can get on Amazon or IndieBound. Either one of those two websites, I know, carry it.
Well, I can tell, anybody can tell, the enthusiasm with which you have done this and which you have about it. So in your own words, tell our listeners why they need to buy this book.
Well, I would just say that we all need to get involved. You know, we all need to pitch in. I mean, we've all been the benefit of a pretty stable society that has worked to our benefit, you know, for decades. And I know, speaking for myself, I've kind of taken that for granted. You know, I didn't have to worry about politics. I didn't have to worry about, you know, racial issues or disability issues or how we treat Native Americans or how we treat people with a different sexual orientation than mine or whatever. I didn't have to worry about that. I was able to have a life, you know, went pretty well, all things considered. And I should have dealt with all this kind of stuff earlier to help people out more, is what my feeling is. And, you know, I hope there are other people that feel the same way.
Yeah.
That, you know, let's try to work together just to make this a better country, a better society, a better culture. This is just one mechanism to how to find out to do that. There are plenty of others. There's plenty of organizations that are not highlighted in this book that are doing wonderful things too. And I'm hopeful that I'll come out with a second book down the road where I get to highlight some more of these.
Well, this is not a one-off book publishing project. There's a podcast, a blog, and other ways the conversation is continuing. Talk about those, if you will.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Because when I started this, it was just getting so much momentum behind it. I said, okay, I've got to turn this into an ongoing platform, not just a one-off book, as you said. So yeah, there's a website, there's a social media, there's weekly emails that go out. I do my own video interviews with several of the contributors to the book, as well as a podcast. And I'm continuing all those and planning to expand the scope, you know, to cover additional organizations that I think fit. you know, in alignment with, you know, the broader mission. So, so yeah, that's going to be an ongoing effort.
Well, you've got a lot of irons in the fire. What other efforts would you like our listeners to know about, whether it's your work with Compassionate Christianity, Empowering Writers, or anything else you want them to know?
Well, thank you. There are really three platforms besides How to Heal Our Divides that I lead. The first one that I launched about 5 years ago now was called Writing for Your Life. And that's a resource center for spiritual writers. So I try to give away as much material for free as I can to support spiritual writers, learn about the industry, learn about writing, learn about marketing their books, things like that. But then part of that program, I also do conferences. You know, it was in-person conferences. Last couple of years, it's been online conferences. But you know, just nourishment for spiritual writers. As I began doing that, one of the things I kept hearing was that writers of color are really underrepresented in terms of the number of books get published. So I said to myself, well, I'm not an editor, I'm not an agent, I'm not a publisher, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a pastor, but everywhere I've ever been in business, so much is important about who you know and who knows you. So I said, let me start a conference series, and we called it Publishing in Color, a conference series that fosters relationships between writers of color and people from the Christian publishing industry. So that's been going on since 2018. And there's lots of book deals that have come out of that and literary agent relationships and other things like that. So that's the second platform. The third platform is one you mentioned called Compassionate Christianity, which is about a year and a half old. It's really a focal point online resource center for progressive Christians. And that there's no revenue model associated with that. We don't sell anything. It's just meant to be a, like I said, a resource center. And there are a team of volunteers who have contributed different sections to that website. There's a section on faith and science, faith and food, faith and travels. There's parenting resources, trauma recovery resources, studies about poverty, about social justice, about health and fitness. So just all offered, you know, for hopefully the benefit of folks who are interested.
Brian, I am so impressed by what you're doing and the way in which you're doing it. Thank you for all that you're doing, and I really appreciate you taking time to be with us on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity to, you know, spread the word about all these organizations that I think are doing wonderful things. And, you know, thank you for all the work that you've done. You know, your organization has been a beacon for many for years. So, you know, hats off to you all for having built that.